Welcome to the J3 University Podcast. I'm your host, John Jewett.
And I'm your co-host, Luke Miller.
Our mission is to elevate the physique coaching standard
and deliver the highest level of competitors to the stage.
Let's jump into today's episode. Traveling is ruining your progress. And we know in bodybuilding, we thrive on monotony. That's what makes good bodybuilders, being consistent, monotonous, doing the right things. However, travel can really throw a wrench in your plans. And so how do you travel just if you're on vacation or you have a busy lifestyle or if you're actually headed out to shows to where we can keep some relative monotony and not take away from our goals? So planning is essential, and that is what Luke and I will dive into today.
Yeah, it's really important, especially from understanding potentially the phase specific considerations to have, like what's acceptable within an off season travel situation and then what may be acceptable within a contest prep situation. I know a lot of what we're talking about today could be applicable to both. So I think there is a big difference. I think there's a little bit more leeway for food option flexibility in the off season when we're talking about, you know, traveling and getting foods there versus trying to keep a lot of the variables consistent for peaking. So it'll be cool to compare and contrast that, but overall, just like the overarching value of the big boxes to tick while traveling so that you're not taking steps backward with travel, you're actually taking steps forward, or at least putting yourself in a position to continue to step forward when you get back.
It could put a real damper on travel, and just as a bodybuilder, you just want to stay home and be a homebody, which I am. Like Renee and I, we love staying home. I hate traveling. Relatively, like usually it just depends. At least traveling when you're like really in prep, it just always seems to detract for several reasons, but there's things that you can do around it. So, and bodybuilding for, you know, over 10 years now, you learn like you're going to have to like have other life experiences, because when you get to the end of the road of bodybuilding, you start looking forward like to all the things that you're kind of missing out on when maybe you could have been a little bit more open and have experienced more things and traveled, but just done so in a structured way that's not impeding that progress. So it, you know, I think the first thing we can dive into is just the overall plan of where you're headed as far as stay goes, and putting that in place was going to dictate a lot of the nutrition and training pieces that we're going to talk about, right? So the first thing that I do anywhere I'm going is trying to find the most equipped place that I can that's as close to I would be like kind of meal prepping at home. And, you know, ideally, a lot of us are looking for Airbnbs, right? Have full kitchens, something that's relatively located close to a grocery store. So what I do is I look on maps. I'll pull up the city and I find like where this Airbnb location is kind of relatively going to be. Then also look at, okay, where's the closest grocery store? How far is that away? Which one is it? Because there is some towns with like really limited grocery stores, or Whole Foods is kind of everywhere. So that might be your standard go-to at that point. But I mean, if you have an Airbnb, a full kitchen and a grocery store, pretty much like you could prep or off season as strict or as flexible as you really wanted within that scenario.
I'm such a nerd when it comes to this. I'll have like multiple screens open and I'll have like one Google map of the gyms, one Google map of the grocery stores, and then one Google map of the Airbnbs. And I'm just like using landmarks to do like proximity and try to figure out like triangulate where the closest things are. I still remember our honeymoon. When we got married, we picked the location of the resort relative to the powerhouse that was on Maui so that we weren't on the opposite side of the island so that we could still train. So it's a reality of like competing and bodybuilding. It's like we enjoyed our honeymoon and that was like very enjoyable, but I was still doing things like checking my weight, and we'll kind of dive into some of this. But the only thing that I would say that is kind of the secondary addition to the Airbnb is the how you're traveling, because the how you're traveling piece makes a big determining factor of how much you're actually bringing with you from a consistency standpoint. Because if you're driving, it makes it really easy to just pack up a bunch of coolers, toss it in the back of the car or the SUV or whatever you got. And keep a lot of those food options very similar, where you have to worry a little bit less about like the grocery store situation. However, flying can be a little bit of a task, but there is a solution, and it's going to cost you a little money to check a bag. But if you freeze all of your foods that you would need ahead of time and then put it in that check bag, you can get quite a bit of food through to where you're going. You just need to make sure that it's frozen. I know, John, you've done this before, right? You've done this where you've like frozen pre-cooked food and then just thawed it out when you got there. But I think the travel situation kind of starts to make some decisions for you as well.
Yeah. And how much you can take for the space that you do have, right? Because if you could drive somewhere, that's great. But if you're staring at a hotel that only has a mini fridge, well, that could be another problem of what you're having to pack in your car to make that situation work, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, with flying, yeah, I usually, you know, not to plug Southwest, but to plug Southwest, you get two check-on bags, right? So one of those bags, you could just dump all your supplements in. You could dump in your dry goods if you want them. And then you could use like an insulated thermal bag and put, I wouldn't put all your meat frozen in there because you might have to like wait to de-thaw. Don't freeze your rice because it makes it really shitty after that. I've done that before. But then like your frozen veggie packs will keep it cool too. Now this works just fine for like within the day travel. But if it's something that's even farther, like I've never done an international flight where I would pack that much food. That's probably best where you're actually sourcing the food there because you just don't know like delays and things like that. Now you could definitely, and you see people do at the airport, they check a cooler, not even a luggage. It's a cooler and you could pack it with dry ice and you absolutely could probably travel like that. But I think by that point, it probably makes sense to try to source like a meal prep company or maybe a company that could ship over to where that, you are staying at. So yeah, I think you have to coordinate those two of the how you travel and where you stay to make that all work together. It's funny you mentioned your honeymoon because even like when Renee and I, we go to, in the off season, all-inclusive resorts like in Mexico or whatever. And I'm still looking up the restaurants and the menu options to see how workable it is, make sure there's food access, like pretty much 24 hours nonstop. And then even looking like through pictures at the buffet and see like, do they have lean options? Cause I've been to places where, man, they just serve like high fat options cause they're cheaper. So like food is top priority. Then I'll go look at the gym access at the resort to see what's there. But typically, it's not an overly anal time, but I also just don't want to feel like crap the whole time. Right. And not be able to be relatively structured on my normal diet because you can't just eat pizza and burgers all day long and you're going to feel like crap and then have like excessive fat gain that takes away from the goal. So, even if off season, like look up the places that you're going and see what all the amenities and the access is. And with that note about flying too, I also like to bring all my meals for the day with me. On me, and just in case like stuff happens, I've been stuck places, right? So if you have that extra meal, that it can be a real lifesaver. So with that being said too, like how you pack, like be efficient. Like Renee and I will use like Ziplocs and put all of our meats like packed down in those Ziplocs flat and freeze them that way, so it's like pretty condensed way to do your traveling, and then make your diet pretty simplified. It's okay if like for a few days, like you have a pretty basic diet, because otherwise it can just be too complex to prep. And you could shift things of like things that you normally would cook. Like I had one guy, he went to South America. He's like, man, I'm not going to be able to like follow my plan. I'm like, yes, you're following your plan. Right. So it's like, here we go. Tuna packs. Those don't require refrigerators, like bagels, crackers, like for carb sources, fruits, nuts, oils, like none of those require refrigeration. I don't care. Like let's find some granola bars that would work, protein shakes, pre-packed, powders, like all that kind of stuff can work to where you can make a meal plan that requires zero refrigeration Is it going to be the most fun and most diverse? No, but you definitely can make it work.
Yeah, the simplicity one's the big one, because especially when you start to get like people on the more OCD side of the equation, it's almost like a all or nothing type thing. It's like it's either the meal plan or it's just bust. And I really like to simplify it to two protein sources, two carb sources, and one fat source. And that's how I tell people to travel. And so you have those two options. You make every meal from those two options and just hit your macros within 10 grams of each macro and within 100 kcals of the macros on the plan. If you're good at it, you can nail it pretty bang on every single time. And if you simplify the options, it makes the meal packing easier. What it also does is, to your point of like not having to keep everything refrigerated if you make good decisions on that front, but it's one less thing to think about while you're gone, because you've already kind of packed the foods and the meals that are going to be there. And if you pre-plan it in Chronometer, what I've had people do is pick those foods, map out what a training day looks like, map out what a non-training day looks like, and they just follow that day depending on kind of, or according to the food sources they have.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, simple works well.
Yeah.
And it's the complexity that can really bite you in the ass, especially if you have some elaborate meals like I have. I like my food and how I make it at home. So I definitely have to simplify down. Even for, you know, this will come out after my travels for peak week, but you know, traveling out to these shows, like the diet, I do make some shifts to just keep it a little bit simpler. And, you know, we'll have a fridge where I'm going, but I've done preps where we just have a mini fridge and we've stayed there for like 4 days and make that work to where, you know, it's just like meat, veggies in the fridge. And there's like, we're cooking rice on the go. We could pack like a mini rice cooker in our extra check-on bag and just cook fresh rice every day if we wanted to. I've seen people like, you know, like I have to have my food hot and they don't have a microwave. You could go buy a microwave and return it. Now maybe you don't have time to do that. Call the hotel, see if they have them available or if they're in the lobby. Other people bring hot plates and like a travel little pan to just heat their food up. I also had another client. He was heating his food up in his rice cooker. So I think it was like a multi-purpose one, but it was a little one. He would just throw his meal in there, hit the heat button, and would heat it up. So that was another clever way to just have hot food. You can pack some of these cooking tools with you to make it work. Also with just packing too, like in saving space, collapsible Tupperware, which I know we see collapsible Tupperware. That's like not a new thing anymore. But there's also like, you know, I've needed like large things, large vats of cream of rice, right? And to have this like little collapsible Tupperware, it's just not cutting it. So I went on Amazon and I bought like a variety size of Tupperwares that are collapsible. So now I have like a really massive one I could cook cream of rice in, or I could have a salad in if I wanted to. So those are excellent for saving space packing. Other packing tips too. Get pill baggies and package all your supplements beforehand, AM, PM. And so what I'll do, I'll set out on my counter, I'll have all my supplements in front of me, and I'll have like some little kitchen bowls, like whatever, it'll be like eight different bowls, right? So I have like my AM pills I'm throwing in, my PM, AM, PM, and I just dish them out that quick that I can just pour them into a pill baggie. So because it takes forever to do that. So that's the fastest way that I found. But then you don't have to take all your supplements with you, and you can have them in these pre-portioned little baggies, which is what I do for these peak weeks, because I don't want to have to, the less I can do out at a show, the better. It's just one big stress drop off. And this is why we're talking about this too, is that the planning ahead, the packing, it can make travel so much easier and not causing stress that's undue, and that stress ruining a peak. And that's a big part of it. And part of traveling and ruining peaks is also when you're traveling. So don't do this stuff last minute when you're trying to pick flights and make arrangements. I've had competitors where it's like the day they check in is when the day they're flying in, and then they miss a flight and they missed check-ins? And then also, how do you account for like GI disturbance or water? So make sure you're giving yourself like those extra days to get there early. Yeah, it's a little bit more money, but think about how much time you put into this prep. Like, it's worth having those extra days just to sit there, prepare, and you don't have to do every day something to do. So I know I get to a show and I'll have this one day where I'm just kind of twiddling my thumbs, kind of hanging out, but that's okay. Like, I'm settled in. I have everything arranged from the grocery store, and it can really drop off some stress so you don't mess up your peak just around that.
Yeah, I think to add one little aspect to the travel thing too, of like when you travel, is like not choosing to travel overnight or at these random ass times if you can avoid it. Because I've had people who have traveled overnight somewhere and then ended up 8, 9, 10 pounds heavier than where they left, because they didn't sleep, or they had to take care of something overnight, or whatever the reason was, or they drove overnight. Literally one of the worst things you could do is ruin your sleep schedule during that peak week. So like planning ahead and picking flights where you can still run your morning routine as best as you can and get you there ahead is just going to lower that stress factor and make peaking so much easier. And it's so important too for like keeping on track with the meals for the day. Cause for me, that morning routine kind of, for a lot of people, sets them up for success, and they can just start their day, meal one, any activity they need to do, they do it. And then they move on and just execute the travel piece. So I think the planning the travel time and day is so huge, and giving yourself at least one day wiggle room before you have to be somewhere for the show. Go ahead.
Yeah. So trying to keep your normal routine is what I was going to say. Like,
yeah,
getting up like extra early to make a flight because you want to just get to your venue earlier or whatever. It's not worth it because it throws off the sleep schedule, the water schedule, the food schedule. If you're off season, yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter as much. Before like competition, it absolutely does matter. Like for this last flight that we had to the show, we flew out at 9 a.m. which I get up at 6 a.m., so 3 hours to get to my flight is more than enough. It wasn't throwing off my schedule at all. And so try to fly at normal times of the day that you're already up. And getting direct flights when possible is also a huge help. And if you're capable to do it financially, getting like, priority boarding or even moving up, like if you have like an extensive international travel, like a business select or something where you maybe are able to get some better quality sleep. Cause we know some of those international flights are 18 hours. Like it's just impossible to arrange something normal. But if that is the case, like Luke said, get there even earlier, like for international competition, my expectation would be like to get there nearly a week in advance. So if it's a Saturday show, probably getting there, arriving on a Monday, just to have time to settle in and get your sleep schedule back in order.
Yep, I would 100% agree. Now, I think that covers most of the nutrition where we could potentially head into gym. Yeah?
You know what I just thought of? Because remember we went to New Jersey for Universe?
Yeah.
And we all were waiting for Daniel to show up because no one brought a food scale. And we all assumed some bodybuilder is going to bring a food scale. And out of all of us, no one did. This was like a house full of people, right? So bring your food scale. And what I would mention on that is what I do is flip my batteries around in it. So you don't want to show up with a dead food scale. I do that with my actual body weight scale too. Flip the battery the other way, or take the battery out, put it somewhere you can remember. And that way you don't show up with dead food scales and body weight scales when you do arrive.
Or no scales because you're relying on other
people. Or no scales, yeah. I would make it just a checklist of things that, if you're a bodybuilder, you're doing this long term, you're going to have a checklist, right? And,
yeah, yeah.
And I send one out to clients of like, this is, your peak week preparation packet, and you have all your items for packing, to things to think of that you might be forgetting. So.
Well, I think that brings us to gym, yeah? I think the gym would kind of be the next piece, because this is an injury prevention conversation as much as it anything else, because when we start talking about new gyms and new equipment, and we're bodybuilders that love equipment and gyms, it's easy to start to tack on these new movements and tack on these extra sets and tack on all these cool little things that you're seeing. And I think the gym conversation is important because it's requiring you to set your ego to the side and could potentially, you know, ruin a peak if you start to chase that too much, especially if we're talking like the pre-contest or like even throughout a contest prep. Like I've seen people go travel and they're at a new gym and they're so excited and they train like two reps past failure and they're using all these new machines that they haven't used before because of the travel. And then it's like they're needing to deload into the next week. And I think there's a conversation to be had about, you know, how to handle that and what that should look like.
Yeah. You know, for one, what does your travel look like? So if you have a flight that was at a different time and change your routine, for one, sleep could be off. Hydration could be off. If you're going into the gym, like in a fatigued, dehydrated straight, this could be a setup for an injury. And that long side, add that maybe a new piece of equipment that takes you into a range of motion where you don't have the best control on that you've been previously training in. All that could be just the perfect storm to tear something. And I've done this when I went to Puerto Rico for a client, and there was it was like a hammer strength, that trap machine or deadlift machine. I'm like, I'm going to use this to do my split squats in. And I did that, and it took that back leg way farther than what I normally would go. And I wasn't even a work set. And pop, there goes my rec fem. And I was 12 weeks out from a show. So word of caution, you know, if you feel any bit of fatigue, just don't train. I'd rather you take the rest and recover than go train and make sure you're adequately hydrated for that day, get your foods in, have a day of rest. And usually for people that are traveling on peak week, I usually take their flight day as an off day. I don't care when they're flying out. I just make it an off day because of all the stuff of travel, trying to get to train, the stress of just organizing it all, but also that it's a stressor for a lot of people, and I don't want fatigue to accumulate. So if you feel like that, it's okay, especially if you're off season, like live to fight another day. Like just take a rest and then go in the next day. But on that note, around gym equipment, it would be trying to find lifts that are as similar as possible, if not the same, as one that you have been doing in your program. But don't get me wrong. Like if I go to some gym and there's a new piece of equipment that I haven't got to try yet, I absolutely will use it. But it's also having to dial myself back a bit, you know, depending on the piece. Obviously, it's something that requires a lot of control. It's not something I want to like load up and try to really test my limits on. So there should be some context around, you know, when to have that intuition to know when to push it or not to.
Yeah. I think part of that too is like training partners. You know, a lot of us, when we travel, it's our opportunity to get to meet up with people that we've been friends with for 8 months over Instagram, and it's the first time we get to meet. And a lot of that kind of coincides with meeting at the gym to get a training session in. And I think that's a big place where you need to be objective about what the training program for the day looks like, because they may be peak off season at max volume set and all the recovery capacity variables are at their peak. And you're like 6 weeks out where you're just like hanging on by a thread. Those two people don't need to be doing the same session in regards to the same amount of movements and or the same amount of sets within whatever that goal for that day is. And so some objectivity around that when you're going to travel with people is important, especially for the prep athlete. And this may be something for off-season athletes when you are training with people in prep, having a little bit more leeway to be a little bit closer to the person that is prepping so that, you know, they're keeping their prep on track and you're just trying to match the stimulus as best as possible to your program. And just allowing for those differences to take place throughout the session. Because you can just like, the all-season person can start the work sets if they need three and the prep person needs two. And then they're just the person doing the last set. And it's pretty easy to manage things like that. And just keeping yourself on track and not letting the excitement and the emotion of meeting up with friends and having a good gym environment take you outside the confines of the goal of the phase that you're in.
Yeah, when I traveled for Animal, at these big events, right? Like all the Animal athletes would come. And so I've trained with, you know, Evan Senapani, Roman Fritz, Derek Lunsford, and we usually film the session. So it's like, hey, you guys are going to train together today, and we'll film it. We're like, all right. So being like earlier on an animal, you're just and younger as a pro, you're just like, well, I'm just doing your session basically. Or there's usually a collaboration. Just depends who it was. Roman, we trained at the Olympia. I forget, that might have been 2018 together. I was in the off season. We both were, but man, like we start off doing some of my workouts, right? I'm like, I had a rest pause set, I think in there of like a chest press. And he's like, man, yeah, that was good. Let's do that again. I was like next time? He's like, no, like another set of that. And so he's like, then let's do a drop set. And dude, man, we hit it so, so hard and so much more volume than what I normally would do. Like I was annihilated, but I mean, it was fine. I could recover, but ideally that wouldn't have happened, but it's still like, it's funny to look back on. And, even with Evan and Derek, like it's usually a collaborative effort to say, hey man, what phase are kind of you in? Like what does your session look like? And kind of finding some compromises there to work around. And, you know, even if you are like a sponsored guy jumping in with another guy, like, man, just don't feel obligated that you have to film the way the supplement company is telling you got to film it, right? Because there used to be like Evan and Frank would do his own workout. And they would like splice the workouts kind of together to make them look like they were training together. Like a few things would overlap, right? But Frank was like, hey, I can't do this. I'm going to go train this other machine. So, I mean, don't feel pressured as like a pro, like, oh man, I have to do these things. Or, and to that point, like traveling, you might get pushed to travel a lot, you know, as a pro that's getting sponsored, and realize like your competitive career is the number one thing, priority to you. Put that first. It's okay to say no when you're not able to do it, because the guys that travel a ton, it's also usually guys that have a hard time making progress, or they could have made more. So just advice for the newer athletes, or hell, even amateurs that are like just have big followings and sponsored. So something to consider. Just but when you get out there, yeah, coordinate with whoever you are training with, and collaborate with someone to where you're not just jumping on someone else's plan. You try to match up the programs the best that you can.
Yeah, I think that
and still have fun.
Yeah, you know, I was gonna say.
You know, you're not saying like, hey, you can't try new equipment, you can't train hard. You know, no, like it's people get a little, I think, overly scared to train hard and push the limits. Mm-hmm. Like, it can be fine. Just be within reason. That's all I say. Just try to be safe and have some rationale behind what you're doing. But it's more to a session than just, it's almost like going out to eat at a restaurant, right? Like, hey man, we got to get the pizza and we all got to eat in. Like, it's kind of more about the experience. So like, just because everyone else is like taking their sets, you know, five reps past, you know, failure and partials and negatives or whatever, it doesn't mean you have to, but you can't just still enjoy the experience of the camaraderie amongst everyone. That's really what it's all about. So, still enjoy your stuff. But I think that, at least around like the training piece, like that would, I think that's it. And that kind of ties all back into, you know, traveling, trying to optimize your nutrition, your training, your sleep, managing stressors to where you can still be the best bodybuilder that you can be. And you don't have those limitations when you are traveling. And also, don't take Luke and I wrong. Like, there's going to be times where you can just take a week. And usually I at least have one of these weeks where I just go somewhere. I don't pack anything. And it is so freeing. And that's usually when we're like, Renee and I are going to kind of the all-inclusive resort where food's going to be there and taken care of. It's okay if like I eat four meals today and I don't eat six meals, right? Or also maybe I only decide to train one time across the entire week. It's okay. It's okay to have a complete week off just for the mental recovery, realizing that, hey, I'm going to be a bodybuilder for the next like 10 plus years. One week a year is not going to be the big detriment. So don't lose out on opportunities to really have fun when great, you know, travel experiences present themselves.
Yeah, and I think the last piece I would add to that is, like, proper preparation prevents poor performance always, but things happen when traveling, and things out of your control happen when traveling, and the best thing you can do is not react emotionally, but just manage it the best you can and then move forward. And you learn from those experiences. I know that John packs all of his meals for a flight on the day because he had to eat airport food one time that he was running a peak. So it's all in part of the learning process. So the way you react to it will speak volumes to, one, what you learn from it, but two, how you handle it in that moment. And I think that's just kind of like the bow on the gift of the podcast for today.
Yeah, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed this one and hope all your traveling bodybuilding endeavors go as smooth as they can. Things will happen, though, when you travel. But best thing, be prepared and planned. And if it still is out of your control, then it's out of your control. And just focus on the items that you can control and make the best of it. So till next time, we will talk to you then. And thanks for tuning in.